Tripping, tripping, tripping.
Balls, balls, balls.
Call and response, like I taught the boys.
You're training them to be members of the Fanatics or what?
No, just trying to... I really hesitate to say this. I'm trying to teach them to be more like you than me. So
you should hesitate to say that, because that's fucking insane, bro.
No,
I suppose that has it in common with my children, who I'm desperately trying to teach to be less like me than pretty much anybody else. So what are you using for call and response training? Am I ever going to see your face again? That's usually pretty popular.
No, there was another example the other day but I guess I'm trying to teach them like the tropes of music and getting them to understand the bones of music. Like, I think you have a much better knowledge of, oh, this comes from blues, or this comes from jazz, or, you know, this is a progression from this to this, and this is what influences this, and this is what informs this. And
but them doing elective music is a huge amount of that. I mean, if they're doing instruments, as long as there's a good kind of musicology element to whatever, as long as they're not just learning an instrument and nothing beyond, you know, here's some sheet music for the instrument that you're playing, as long as they're getting a bit of an imbuement in where stuff comes from and, you know, why music works and all that sort of stuff. But most of it's just fucking listening to shit and getting into shit. And I've always had an interest in what's the thing that, where did it come from? And that might be more of a evolutionary biologist approach than a musicology approach. But it's like, how did we get Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Stones didn't emerge out of nowhere. I mean, that's a bad example, because that was later in their career. But, you know, that sound, you know, It's All Over Now by the Stones didn't emerge out of nowhere. You know, Love Me Do by the Beatles didn't emerge out of nowhere. What led to that? You know, or what led to Elvis? Well, it wasn't that. It was a bunch of, you know, black dudes with no teeth and a, you know, three-string guitar in the swamp somewhere kind of shit. I mean, at least that was the way it was put forward. And then you dig into it and you discover it had a much more subtle and interesting backstory, and driven by social shit and massive migrations out of flooded and unsuccessful farmlands into like places like Chicago and all the rest of it. So, and you learn about history.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know.
So, some of it's just a little bit less obvious than Wolf Mother, I guess.
Well, even Wolf Mother is telling a story about Andrew Stockdale, and you know, but it's also it's an excuse to go back and listen to the stuff that begat Wolf Mother, like the three big proto heavy metal bands of the late 60s, early 70s. Your Zeppelins, your Sabbaths, and your Deep Purples, which is pretty much what is in every Wolf Mother song.
Yeah. All right. Where shall we dig into the new tunes of the week?
Should we get Cage the Elephant out the way?
Yeah.
Shoot the fucking elephant. I mean, they're Kentucky Fried, but they sound probably more like English indie, I think. They're kind of like an edgier Coldplay. Very slightly edgier Coldplay.
But had the same effect, in that I listened to it the first time around. I'm like, that was pleasant. And then I was like, later in the week, I'll put that Cage the Elephant album back on. And I was like, hang on, which song do I want to listen to? And I was searching my memory for, like, even now, I can't really tell you much about them. No. It just completely slides into my ears, across my brain, and out the other side.
It's just jellied music. It has no, it's been pureed like baby food. It's vibeless, it's featureless, it's drab, moany, sad boy crooning. Completely harmless, which is ironic given that the most famous thing the lead guy has done recently was being arrested for weapons possession.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll always credit an act for trying something, so these guys get absolutely no credit at all because they tried absolutely nothing. And my note here is, congratulations on winning the Joker for next week. I have not yet listened to the other two albums.
Well, let's move to Big Special, because this started and I'm like, oh man.
Do we have to do the entire review in all caps? I think we probably do.
Well, I was like, beat poetry to tunes, okay? And like, I'm sort of predisposed to not like this style of album. And the more it went on, I was like, actually, this is pretty cool. I actually think the music, I really like the music. And I actually think the way that he used his lyrics was probably a better result than I expected from that style of delivery. Does that make sense? I sort of got into this, at least the first time through, anyway.
Was there a second time?
It does. It just sort of wears its welcome out a bit, I think. And I think that's not necessarily because the album was bad. It's just because I think there's an end point to that style.
It's a punish. It's punishing. I mean, it's got at least it's got something about it, eh? They are having a fucking fair crack.
Yeah.
The content is very kind of austerity, spec, depression, and your man's general vibe grates very heavily very soon. I think Sleaford Mods have got a lot to answer for inspiring a couple generations of these sorts of people. But it is odd. It's a bit... What's the phrase? Track one is oddly Bruce Springsteen does West Yorkshire Pit Town. And that's kind of the vibe. I mean, obviously the album's called, what is it, Post-Industrial Small Town Blues or whatever it is. And it is about, you know, how fucked everything is and you know, that kind of, you know, ranting about misery is not a vibe that really, really is fun. I mean, there's a track called Shithouse, which is, I mean, the album's not quite Shithouse. A track called Mongrel, you know, the album is a bit of a mongrel. There's a track called Dig, and I don't dig this album, I have to say.
So I think too, like, this made me think about Bob Villain and the difference between this and Bob Villain. And the difference between this and Bob Villain is...
He can carry it much better.
Well, and like you can feel... Like I've been trying to talk to my players about like making the opposition feel your presence. Like actually feel like you're impacting them on the field. And this is like... But like Bob Villain makes you feel it, right? In sometimes not in the best way, but he, like, no matter what, he's sort of like he's throwing his heart and soul into what he's doing, and this doesn't feel like that. This just feels like
but there's also tone and light and shade with Bob Villain. He'll kind of talk quietly and wistfully, and he'll rant and scream, and he'll bellow and he'll growl. This was much more of a, you know, much more of a punish. He's kind of old. Now, that isn't quite true because he does do this kind of odd crooning as well. It's a weird thing. He's kind of alternating between Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys when he's doing his fucking bad Michael Bublé impression and Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods. He's kind of trying to flip between the two, and I don't think it works at all. I was interested, though, because it was produced by Michael Clark, so it's good to see Pup, you know, finding another thing to do, another string to his bow, apart from appearing on Zoom in bad ESPN cricket shows.
Yes. He's got to do something, I guess.
Yeah. The thing is that you always say that, you know, oh, you know, bad times produce good music. That's not always the case. I mean, the really grim shit that England is going through, you know, produced Bob Villain. But it's also produced a lot of bad Sleaford Mods knockoffs. And I don't think we need too many more of them.
All right.
Give them the strap.
This just made me feel depressed.
The first line of it was just more of the fucking same, really. This week is a bit of a punish because it's kind of had the same vibe, except it was just musically different. It still felt like I was being subjected to somebody else's mental illness, which I suppose, you know, given the title of the album, it was foolish to expect anything else. And I suppose my review is a single sarcastic, passive-aggressive thumbs-up emoji to go with the album title.
I just... Like, that spoken word stuff, the aesthetic sort of got to me after a while, but this got to me very quickly. The droney sort of, oh man, could I even be fucked turning up to work today? I guess I've got to sing on this album. I suppose I'll turn up. And like, and the music was a lot less interesting, I have to say. It just did not fucking get anything going for me at all.
So these guys are contemporaries of Bell and Sebastian and Mogwai in the Glaswegian scene, but it definitely doesn't show in the music. It's not the same. There's no pretty little pop melodies here. This is all sparse and grim. No.
maybe these guys opened for them just so, you know, like, I did a public speaking competition once where I was convinced I won simply because I went after the most boring speaker of all time in the history who... I think the title of his talk was The Greatest of All Sins is Apathy, and he talked about that for 10 minutes. And then all I literally had to do was be slightly entertaining and crack a few jokes, and the judges were like, oh my God, this is so good! So maybe their whole, you know, reason for existence was to be the first band on so that the next two bands got some vibes going after him.
That feels like something you would try at the Indie Temple. is to convince your mate's terrible band to go on before you, so you end up looking better. And that might also be why they, I mean, in the playlist for me, they came after Big Special. So they just felt like an even more grim, even more downbeat version of a similar kind of vibe. And I wonder if I flipped the order, it would have been different.
No, because the first time I listened to it, I listened to it the other way for some strange reason, because normally I just follow it in the playlist.
You went alphabetical, ABC.
I think for some reason, I don't know why I thought these guys would be more interesting, but I did, and I was wrong. All right, what have you?
So did anybody win the week?
No.
I absolutely did. Really? I refuse to accept any plaudits for that fucking Shoot the Elephant album, because that was
music,
dog shit.
Definitely.
And the other two albums were unpleasant, but at least they did something. You're poking with a stick, they literally did something. So credit to you for getting the Joker.
All right, new stuff.
Indeed.
I was going to go. Now, I'm always a little bit worried when it says deluxe edition because,
you always check to see how many albums worth of shit are in there.
Well, or that it's like, you know, an updated version of an album that was released in 2007, but it doesn't look like it is. You can fact check me on this live.
I think I'll probably need to. Because how many times have we fucked this up before?
Yeah, that's very generous. How many times have Bezo fucked this up before?
It's a raw win.
Car Boot Soul by Nightmares on Wax. I'm going to try and get my electronic music going on one more time.
Car Boot Soul, Nightmares on Wax, 1999.
Really? Fuck. Damn it.
I mean, I just put the name in and I clicked on it, Nightmares on Wax, 1999. 10 songs, 50 minutes.
My Joker this week is the deluxe edition of Car Boot Soul by Nightmares on Wax. Would you like to pick a new album, Doc?
Jesus Christ, how did you do this? How did you do this? How did we do this? I'm going to pick the new album by Bad Nerves, who are a five-piece from Essex who sound not like they're from Essex. They sound like they are from the United States of A. And they are a kind of a garage rock band and make fun noises. So I will go for that. I'm going to try and figure out what the difference between the regular and the re-release is 10 minutes longer, so it goes for an hour. And it seems to have two different remixes. The Nightmares on Wax story, the vibe is, oh dear. Oh, slightly Stockdale-y bio.
Well, aren't all bios slightly Stockdale-y?
I wanted to ask, what is freedom? Everyone's got a different concept of it. I realise that internally we all want to be free of our shit, and it doesn't matter what it is. So there are shout-outs to freedom in each song. They're all different cries and different calls.
Oh, dear.
But there's a different coherent feeling running through it. Although this is, I presume he's not talking about this album, because this album is from 1999. Fuck. Oh, he's done a thing called Shout Out to Freedom. He's doing live internet here. And Shout Out to Freedom was when? It was 2022 he did an album called Shout Out to Freedom.
Okay. I'm going to go with an old soul singer then. Emma Donovan, who was in a band called...
Not Casey Donovan.
No.
Jason Donovan.
And her album is called... Till My Song Is Done, which sounds very ABC, ABC Country or something that would be featured on an ABC regional network. But anyway, we'll see how that goes.
Family country music is where she comes from. Lots of golden guitars in her history.
Would you like to steal the Joker from me?
Are you sure you don't want to do the? You sure you don't want to do the random album from 1999 that you know you can't really claim as a classic, given that you know so little about it that you thought it was a new album?
Oh, sure. Let's give it a go.
Unless you've got a better
idea.
So there's a band who featured in a Bring Out Your Dead episode that I did, like end of 2016, 2017. A band called Whores. They're kind of hardcore metal, and they had a really good album called Gold that came out in 2016 that I discovered because the Bring Out Your Dead episode was after the Album of the Year episode in late 2016, and then we had time off afterwards. We had slightly different format then. And I discovered their album Gold, which was actually really good, and they haven't done anything since. And this is their first album since then, so I'll go for Whore's new album, which is called War.
Fair enough. I feel like I have no leg to stand on to say anything else about music this week. Jesus Christ. All right, Doc. I will be off next week for the last training camp for the Philos.
I was about to say we're going to have a short week with these, but I guess we won't. We'll have
a double week.
Oh, we probably should have mentioned that on the sports episode that we won't be recording after one game.
Well, you might be recording, but I won't be.
Oh fuck! I don't want to.
Well, we might see everyone in 2 weeks then.
So we'll come back in 2 weeks with these albums. Oh, a bit less than that, given that we're recording a bit late this week.
Mm-hmm. And that'll probably work out well, considering we might actually have some more T20 games to talk about.
Well, I think most of the World Cup will be finished by then, won't it?
Who would know? I was talking to the boys this afternoon on the way, and I was like, oh, I'm only going for a week for my World Cup. You know, if I was playing at the cricket, you know, coaching at the Cricket World Cup, I'd be gone for 3 months. And they're like, really? And I'm like, maybe it just actually feels like 3 months. I don't think it is actually that long.
Not the T20 World Cup. It's much quicker. No. They don't have like half a week. Well, the Rugby World Cup will be the longest because, you know, you get a week stand down between games.
Yep. Yeah, because of the physicality, I guess.
No, just because they're fucking fat and soft private school boys.
I feel so embarrassed that I picked a 20-year-old album as a current one again.
25-year-old.
Well, I can't even say it was before my time.
Jeez, no, this is was right in the sweet spot.
This is right in the sweet spot. I should
probably. We're on the point where.
And I'll probably listen to it and go, oh, yeah, I reckon I remember this album.
I don't think you did, because, I mean, I can't remember them. I mean.
Yeah, obviously wasn't enough to impact me to go that, oh, yeah, this one. Awesome. Jesus Christ. It's been a long couple of weeks. All right, Doc. Thanks for chatting to me.
No problem at all. We'll talk to you again in a bit under 2 weeks.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Flirting with suspicion, staring through the glass. Another false transaction, a production of the past. I was lost in fabrication. The finish line was fixed. The code was falling fast and it was stacking up like bricks. Oh, dear. Look, at least I've put them all in the right album. I usually put them in the wrong playlist, so that's all right.